studied everything.
Well, we are talking about 2 days in Paris. And present are
Nancy, Mary,
Fatima,
Jane,
Sandy,
Rick,
Richard,
and Mark.
Who all saw the movie.
I saw the movie.
Yeah?
I did.
Yeah, cool.
Wow.
That's a first. Okay, Rick, go first.
Yeah.
Okay,
move
I
up
just,
here so you can...
I just saw it Friday night, and I couldn't help but think of Before Sunrise and Before Sunset,
sure.
Of course.
After.
No, they're
no. Before Sunrise.
Before Sunrise
sunset.
Is the first one, and 10 years later,
Before Sunset.
The two
before
stars,
sunset.
And help me with the director. Made, but that's a different
okay,
film.
Okay, forget it. Okay,
but
sorry.
I couldn't help but think of that film, which made me, which just made remind me how good those films were. But this film was also really well made, really, really interesting. I'd say my only complaint is a little bit too, you know, ad lib for ad lib's sake, almost. I guess you would have to say. I mean, I don't know how to verbalize that well, but
mm-hmm.
I think you guys know what I mean. Like.
Too verbalized.
A little bit too, yeah. I mean, it's very wordy and like those other films I mentioned, but it's almost like the kind of the naturalness of it is it's a little bit too. I don't know how you
mm-hmm.
I find a better way to say that. Almost just
too forced.
Yeah, it's almost like let's ad lib the scene; it'll be really natural. You know, let's just,
mm-hmm.
just cast my real parents in it, and that'll be really natural.
Mm-hmm.
Her. Parents? Did we already hear about you? You guys know.
I did not realize they were really her parents.
So her real parents
fabulous.
Played her parents, and they're both actors, though. So it's not like she
yeah.
grabbed her parents off out of the thing. And I thought they were great, very interesting people, especially the father.
Oh, the father!
I thought
very
they were both good.
And their dynamics were great with her and Goldberg. What's his name? Adam Goldberg.
Jack.
Adam?
No, no, that's Jack Goldberg.
No, it's not Jack.
The character's name is Jack.
I think the guy's name is Adam Goldberg.
Adam Goldberg.
I like him a lot. I mean, I like him. I think he's really funny.
What else is he in?
I
don't know. I've never seen him before.
Either.
Oh, he might not have recognized him, but you've seen him. He was the guy who starred in, was it Brent? Was he the guy from Bread and Roses?
What? No, that was Brody. That was Adrian Brody, wasn't it?
That was Adrian Brody, you're right. Anyway.
I've seen him before.
Yeah, but
I've seen him several times. He's funny.
I thought
funny.
I seen him and I didn't
know
him.
In
comedy.
Rick has a microphone.
Starring.
Rick has
no, I mean, but he was a little annoying. I mean, you know, it was kind of, you know, after a while it kind of got like, okay, that's enough of that. But I love the dynamics of the relationship. It was so, the just because you're, I'm in the same, very similar situation. Where just because I'm in a relationship, just because I'm not, I have a partner and I live with her and we're not married, okay? So people kind of assume that you're, okay, you're dating, isn't that fun? Oh, maybe you're going to get married someday, or you know what I mean, if you get close
mm-hmm.
to someone, you guys know. And, or you remember. And so, you know, like, you know what I mean?
I was too long ago.
I'm making a statement about, like, I'm trying to make a statement about how, like, just because
romance
the dating,
is not
it's
romantic.
Not all romance.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That there's the struggles of it, there's the hard part, the difficult parts of it, the meeting the parents, the, you know, the familiarity with your partner. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. It might have happened at 2 weeks. It might have happened at 6 months. And then in the end, they turn out that they don't. They decide they don't really know each other. And but they're gonna go on anyway. They're gonna give it a shot, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the impression
yeah.
I got.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
But anyway, I know I'll lose the floor in a second. So
say everything you want.
Well, that's right. I think
he's right that the things that the dialogue about how you walked in. Not in the middle of this relationship, but for, this relationship has been going on for a while, and I recognize many of the things that Rick's talking about. You know how he had met the parents before, and how he's re-meeting the parents, and they still haven't found out where the, each other is, and we've all been there before. We've seen that, and it felt genuine, and I appreciated that.
I just thought of something. Was she not a flirt before they landed in Paris?
Right. It's like
she's
yeah.
French.
No.
Well, she's
No.
No, but he acted like he had
new.
Never seen this
It was
before.
New in the relationship
she's
that
flirted with everybody.
So
yeah.
That
excuse me. I have it. It was new.
I have the ball if you want to.
Shut up. It was new in the relationship that she was a flirt. It was a discovery for him. In Paris, after 2 years of being together.
I think it was supposed to be that because she was with her exes.
But she flirted with unknown people.
Yes.
She flirted with the taxi drivers. She flirted in different places.
Else, yeah.
She smiled. She, you know.
She was a fireman. She was all
so
over
did
the fireman. She almost stripped them right there.
Oh, that was innocent. I thought that was fairly innocent.
No.
The taxi driver?
Yeah.
No, she got into a screaming argument with one taxi driver.
There were many taxi drivers.
Well, there's a hand back
there. It's a running
there.
Theme, yeah.
There's a hand back
Perhaps it was more as intuitive when she was in her own place. And because it happens when you are... it happens. You see, when you live or you have two places or two countries, and sometimes, somehow, in any time in your life, when you go to your own place where you feel more, I don't know if I'm saying
at home,
at home, so you get more empowered. Mm-hmm. You are familiar with everything, and then everything rises. And then she portrays what she is, and perhaps she didn't have the same opportunities when she was in the States, or he didn't notice she was not in her environment. So lots of things that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
why I thought that just as important as her entanglements with other men was the fact that she would argue when she disagreed with somebody, and that he was surprised by that too. But then it was about that's normal behavior in France.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Do we have to do anger management with you?"
Mm-hmm. Well. Touching on like the opposite of what Fatima said is that you could see that he was not comfortable in France because he didn't speak the language, and so he was feeling vulnerable, and seeing her being so comfortable was, I think, mm-hmm. intimidating, and seeing her and she had all this not new power, but had a new way of relating to people that he might not have seen before, as mm-hmm. Fatima was saying, and he was so far out of it that I think it set him up to be, you know, what are they saying about me? You know, he mm-hmm. kept saying, what are they saying about me?
I'll second what you just said, Mark, but I think there's also another element that they talk about in the film, and that is, in general in New York, she's a photographer and he's not. And in this case, he is the photographer, mm-hmm. and she's not taking photos. So it puts him in an active observer view. And she is the actor, not the observer, in mm-hmm. the instance when they're mm-hmm. in Paris, in mm-hmm. her home turf, mm-hmm. where she's comfortable, and she has this... And just to the point when he's saying, you know, that book I was reading, and it says I should meet somebody that I didn't expect to see when I'm so far away from home, I haven't seen anybody, and in the next instance, she meets her old beau. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then she keeps meeting people that she knows. Mm-hmm. And she's in the... You know, he's not acknowledging that it might not be me, it's you that's meeting. He never acknowledges that. I want to say something about the film as film, though, and that is the weakness for me was the clothes, where her voice—it's her voiceover mm-hmm. through which we hear that whole final mm-hmm. argument. We see them gesticulating, mm-hmm. but we don't hear their words. We hear her report of the words, mm-hmm. and I felt like this was a way for her to shortcut to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
She had so many roles in this movie. She was the writer, director,
she was all over the place.
She wrote the song, she acted. She just did the whole thing, and there was a big cast too.
All over.
So it was a hard thing for her to pull everything off. And I think in the writing part, this was a weakness.
Yeah, but you needed that distance in the end.
If they acted it out, it
wouldn't have been. Yeah, Rudy was nice.
Connecting to what Fatima said.
No, that's the thing you're holding.
Oh. She said she was back in her home. Well, this is something that Fatima and I have noticed since we've been living in San Francisco since 1996, and that is two peoples of different cultures marrying or being together or living together or going together. and how, yes, indeed, the behavior changes from here. Mm-hmm. And here in my country and there in your country. Hmm. And that creates a big contrast when you switch places. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. The empowerment that you have in your own place, as opposed to Italy. If you're living in Italy for 3 years with your girlfriend and you come back here, you're a different person. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and but you don't have the he also had the language difference.
On top of
you, right on top of it. So even
she,
more
to be in France and not speak French, and also French. I mean, they're just so adamant about their language. But if you don't speak French, you're.
It was a long 2 days, wasn't it? I mean,
it seemed like 2 months.
Well, I spent 2 days in Paris also, and I did it, but I did it by myself. That's a long story. I won't bore you with the tape. But I had a blind date, so forth. I went to Paris and I got stood up. But anyway.
Before sunset.
Anyway, I spent two days in Paris by myself, and I didn't know any French. Mm-hmm. So I felt really, you know, I'd heard about Paris all my life, and I finally went when I was 30 years old. And the only reason I went was because I wanted to see Paris. I had spent time in Barcelona and so forth. So I. For weeks, and then I went there, and I just didn't feel right. I just felt awkward, you know. I just didn't feel comfortable. I went to a restaurant. And I ordered the best I could do was to order some seafood because I like seafood, and it came out. It was on a big platter like this, and it cost me $120. And the waiter didn't say a thing. And he brought it to me, and I had a platter full of escargot and crisps, yeah, and all shellfish and all beautiful and a lobster on top and everything.
For six people
that you would share amongst it. So anyway, my point being that like I mean it was just the most awkward, like weird experience and negative experience, but at the same time I was like, well, this is a beautiful city and I'd like to come back someday and I'd like to come with the right person and I'd like to make it a romantic thing, getaway or whatever, or come with somebody who knew some French, or I should learn some French, and I'd probably have a whole different experience.
You know, that incident of yours with this thing of seafood reminds the waiter could have told you, are you alone?
Yeah,
it's too much.
That's what I mean.
Like when the first boyfriend she meets, I think, Manu, turns to this poor idiot and says, do you speak French? No. And then he goes on in French.
Right.
Just like, oh, good.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, that's very that French. The French are very, I mean, you know, in other countries, you say, you know, I don't speak the language, and waiters will try to help you.
Yeah. Hello. No, how about the U.S.?
No French waiter.
How about the U.S.?
I know
somebody who's saying English. Do you speak English? And they say, yeah, I don't understand. And then you say, oh, so I'm so sorry, I don't speak your language. Blah, 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 blah.
No, that happens. But French waiters are very well known for this.
Yeah.
They are particularly
well known. I was born, you know, and yeah. So... But the other thing I want to mention is different segue thing. Earlier we were talking about her flirtation. Her father is a big flirt, huge flirt.
Yeah.
And she says to him, great line, she says, if I can remember it correctly, she says to him, are you going to flirt with every single woman on the square? And she laughs and thinks it's so funny. She's clearly influenced by her father's behavior.
But do you remember there's also a moment where the mother does something and Adam Goldberg says, oh, great, the mother's a
whore.
She's
a flirt. That's what he said. And that I thought was just very funny.
I thought that was very funny.
I haven't spoken yet
about those. I have to say that I thought I loved this film, and I thought it was better than. I've also thought about Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, and I thought that it was far better than either one of those films. Huh. And I was just incredibly impressed with Julie Delpy. Mm-hmm. I did not expect anything from her, and I could not believe I thought that the quality of writing and directing and editing,
she did all the
songs. I thought was just incredible, and not only that, but the whole idea that this character, who's probably herself, it's very autobiographical, that this sort of nebbishy, lovable, nincompoop American Jewish guy gets is not Jewish. His mother wasn't Jewish.
His mother wasn't Jewish.
Oh, right. Jeff Goldberg gets plopped into a very bohemian family.
Yeah.
And the father is an artist, and in his gallery he shows all of these the pieces of erotic art, and that sexuality in their family is like a palpable topic all the time. Yeah. And then this is
everybody had seen that.
Right. And that in their family that was normal. They thought that photograph was hilarious. Mm-hmm. As would any slightly disinterested family would think that it was, I mean, bohemian family.
Did the sister disagree with that, though?
Yes.
What is she the one that said?
She planted the seed.
My family's crazy, I'm sorry, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, right.
That was inappropriate.
She bring out the picture.
Yeah,
at the first time.
Yeah, she brought up.
She was sort of a
rival. Was an interesting character, but she was clearly nuts. And at one point he says, you know, she's ruining the lives of children. I just want to say, I thought it was the funniest movie. I have laughed. Yes. I laughed more at that movie than I've laughed at
me too. Yeah. Me too.
Including The Simpsons. It had better laughs than The Simpsons. It was just, hold on, I haven't said anything yet. It was just really funny. And it was, because mostly comedies are either the really dumb, what's his name, who this guy sort of reminded you of, Ben Stiller.
Yeah,
I mean, he's kind of a Ben Stiller with the meat.
Right.
Or Steve, what's his name, who played in Little Miss Sunshine.
The brother.
So he's kind of like that. But I just thought this movie had more laughs. I just was laughing out loud than I've had since maybe like Annie Hall or something.
Me too.
And I think it connects to Annie Hall too, because a Jewish man and a real goy, you know, the ultimate shiksa, yeah. So, yeah, I just thought it was really... But I did get a little sick of him by the end. He was a little too much. And I think you hit on something where it was almost like they were... You know, he was obviously improv a lot of his lines, probably. Yeah. And it was like a little bit too much. Richard, but maybe I just didn't like it when he took his shirt off. Richard's ready. He hasn't said a word yet.
Uh-oh.
But he's in love with Tony.
But you know, I think I am.
Who is it?
But I expected a lot from this film, because I expect a lot from Julie, because she actually wrote
the music.
much of...
Terry's having some problem.
Is he throwing the hammer?
No, but he's trying to flash into the window. I hesitate to go ask if everything's okay, but on the other hand... Yeah, he's still stomping. I will.
She actually wrote most of the movie before sunset. She wrote most of that dialogue, which I thought was wonderful. I talked about this movie with Ellen earlier, since she knowing that she wasn't going to be staying for the discussion, and she and I actually agreed pretty much on this film in comparison to those two previous films, mm-hmm. which we both loved and thought was much better than this movie.
Hmm.
I think Before Sunset is just this incredible, amazing movie.
The first one?
No, no.
The second one.
10 years later.
Yeah,
when they
reconnect. So I was expecting a lot, and I didn't get as much as I got from those two movies, particularly Before Sunset. Yeah, I thought it was okay. I've seen and read a number of interviews of her about this movie.
Enlightenment.
She talked about that indeed a lot of things were improvised. So there was a great deal of improvisation in the film, and that I think is reflected in the way that we reacted to things. She also stressed that no, it wasn't autobiographical. That wasn't really her. Although everybody seems to insist that it must have been. But I don't know.
Well, of course she's going to
say that. They always say that.
Yeah.
certain things were she did agree
with. It was an okay movie for me. You know, I'm kind of surprised that I reacted that way. But I think it's in part or largely because I just thought Before Sunset was just amazing. Just
high
amazing.
Standard, yeah. High expectations,
But I accept Before Sunset.
I think that's an interesting comment. I enjoyed this movie very much, but I remember I had not seen Before Sunrise
until Before Sunset came out. So I rented the two of them at once to sort of watch them on two successive nights, which is a great experience,
a lot
by the way.
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so you don't have to wait 10 years to find out what happened. And I agree that I just remember being riveted and enjoying them so much. But I did enjoy this one also. It was sort of like a different take almost. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is the male character.
Yeah.
I mean, Ethan Hawke is somebody I took really seriously as somebody who Julie Delpy, or the character she plays, who's sort of herself but not, could truly be enmeshed with, you know, or intrigued and involved in. This guy, I just couldn't quite get it. He was sort of more a comic character to me. Not that it seemed completely off that they were together, but he was on a different plane.
Yeah, I don't think looking back on it, I'll see
Ethan
this movie as good as those others.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke himself is a writer. You know,
he's a
very bright person. Yeah. Has he been a director also?
I think
they're very well matched, and you felt that in the movie. Yeah. I mean, even if you didn't know those biographical details, but I don't know this. I didn't feel the match as much here.
Is that film the one you before? I confused the titles.
Sunrise.
The one where they they see each other whenever in a bookstore.
Yes, that's the second
signing
one.
Signing a book.
And then they walk through all these neighborhoods in Paris, and she lives in that fabulous house.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
All the neighbors.
I do agree with
that's
that.
That's an amazing film. Yeah.
I agree with what Jane and what Richard said. I think Before Sunset and Before Sunrise, especially Before Sunset, is a much more deeper film and more emotionally rewarding than this. This was entertaining. But I thought it has some, like Rick said, it has some real genuine moments about relationships that it was interesting to see portrayed. But also what Jane said, that I didn't see really two characters connecting, you know, on an intimate. I mean, I saw evidence of that and genuine relationship things, but I still didn't see what he saw in her or what she saw in him mostly. But was Before Sunset the one where they end up in her apartment and she's playing?
She dances.
She's singing.
She's singing. Anyway,
that's the one.
Nina Simone.
And she says, "You're going to miss that plane." And he says, "I know."
Oh, right. And then it ends.
Beautiful scene.
Then it ends.
The audience wants more.
I was thinking about how that ended, compared to how this ended, and somebody said that, with her talking over this dialogue between her and him, and she's crying and he's crying and stuff like this, and you don't know how it's going to end in this film. And I thought maybe it is true that they, you know, they just ran out of time or ran out of budget or whatever. But I liked that. Mm-hmm. I liked that ending, and I thought for whatever reasons why they did it, it worked, and it worked for me.
It worked for me too.
Yeah,
and also in terms of the relationship, I saw it as the kind of relationship in which two very different people learn about each other's cultures, and they're together for a certain period of time, and maybe it will work in these very different cultures. And I mean, because she really enjoyed his New York Jewishness.
Yeah.
And his, you know, she made fun of his being afraid that there were terrorists around the corner, and that he lied to the American tourists about where the Louvre was.
That was like farce.
And he says, "This is a French. I'm in a French farce. Am I in a French farce?"
Right. He says,
"In parts, it was.
So they're flying with a French
because
farce."
Because 2 days later, he turns a corner,
and there they are.
Yeah. Coming back from wherever it was.
But it's a comedy, and it's very different from the other two.
Sunrise. Yeah, it's true. It's different.
And she purposely didn't want to meet.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She has.
Well, I like the movie because I didn't have any background and I didn't have expectation. So I laughed all the time. But I think, well, a lot of things I knew them about the culture. So it's like she was trying to portray and to contrast both cultures. And satirize, did I say
that? Yeah.
Satirize the
French.
The French. But I wouldn't think which one is better or worse. It's just that's the way they are, right? Or like one of my trips, I went to France the first time, and I was watching the TV, and all the ladies that were topless, and I was in a shock. You know, but however, other circumstances that the French get surprised of things going on here in the United States. Happening also culturally, you know, that shock. So
can I tell a little bit about your background? There's some schema for all you.
Schema.
I think that served, she accomplished the purpose of contrasting the differences between
that fits with what you were saying, that culture and learning about each other's cultures.
Right. And at the end, you know, they decided they want to give it a try. It was shocking, like when I saw the guy, he was keying the cars.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that was terrible, right? I think he has his own purpose, right? That she disagreed of the way they were parking. Which I don't think that's the way
to express
it. But it's comedy. So somehow we can think the country's kind of savage compared to the United States, but there are some other things that
reverse.
So,
right, right.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to to say. Okay.
She doesn't want me to say.
No.
Before we encountered each other. She had been going with a French man from France directly imported into Mexico for 8 years, so she knows about the
cross-cultural.
Okay, three things came up real quick. One is I laughed really hard too, but I was a lot of times I was the only one laughing.
I
mean, I was really ringing true to the whole difficulty of relationships. And deciding if you should go to the next step, the next level. And that was clearly they were at a crossroads there, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't want to say I disagree, but I see it a little bit differently than people mentioned. In terms of, like, the movie not comparing to the other two movies, I agree that it is different, even though it's the same. It is Julie Delpy, she's with an American, it is whatever, being in
she's
foreign
home
country or
yeah.
Now she's home. But I would, and I'm thinking like how that's kind of the point of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like that difficulty that those two are so different and they have to, but they love each other. You know, or at least I got the feeling they love each other. But he's like, am I going to put up with this? I mean, she's not nearly as charming or as likable as she was in those other films.
No, correct.
I
commend her for
it. I know some people agree with me here. I completely fell in love with Julie Delpy in Before Sunrise. you know, like that was like the ultimate. I mean, to me, and I would go as far as to say now, after if you put these three films together and then the other stuff she's done, maybe, that Julie Delpy is what my generation, you know, knows as a French woman. You know what I mean? Like,
not Catherine Deneuve.
Yeah, you guys might say Catherine Deneuve, or you know, and I do too. But Julie Delpy is mine.
You can't have both.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Like now that she's made this film, and I don't mean to say that she's the greatest French actress that ever lived in my day. I'm just saying that
she's represented. She is
very yes, and as far as I know, she is France. She is, you know, she is the French actress, and she is. You know, I feel like I kind of know her too. Like she's not, you know what I mean? Julia Roberts is the whatever, maybe not now, but she's like very American or whatever.
Right.
But we don't know Julia Roberts. You know what I mean? Julie Delpy, I feel like we know her because she's writing this stuff for herself. She's,
And like they said, you said she claims that she's this is not her, so maybe it's not, but we still get to know a lot about kind of what Julie Delpy's probably like, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I really know her. I almost go as far as I feel like she was one of my girlfriends, you know. She's an ex-girlfriend of mine, you know.
And
one last thing, just real quick, that's related to that, is that she doesn't film herself very attractive.
She just had a child.
She's in real life. She just had a child.
Yeah.
She's gained a little bit of weight.
She's
dumpy, kind of
glasses
see
and
she's done. Yeah, the glasses. You can't see. She's not that attractive in this film.
Have
she's
you
still
seen
okay,
film?
But
I don't think so.
What are the only three films I've seen? What are some titles?
Has she made?
I have no idea.
She's so much inferior films.
Where's the computer?
American films.
Really?
I can't remember what they were.
Is it a laptop?
Yeah.
Yes, they were so inferior that we didn't. They were so inferior that we don't know.
To see it in a French film.
But
yeah. But no, I really like the fact that she having this her film and she wrote it and she cast and that would she was kind of dumpy in the beginning because she looked good by the time she went to that party.
Yeah,
and she found her contacts and she found the right dress. Yeah, so
that's
it was true, like a
which is
movie.
Nice to
but,
see
but for
that
the first
way.
Half of the film,
and when she gets drunk,
Yeah, she's also not
that's
an attractive person. The way that he argues with the cab drivers is not attractive at all.
Not attractive to be in a relationship
attractive
with.
Attractive to me.
It was attractive to me, too.
No, I felt for that guy. Did you feel for that guy?
Yeah, she was just all over it.
She was right.
He couldn't
understand a word that she was saying.
No, Elizabeth's not here.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was great that she spoke up for herself, but I don't. But I fell for the guy and going like Jesus, she took it way too far and how would you could you could see it was like I don't know if I could be in a relationship with this woman anymore. You're a crazy woman, he said.
Right. Well, she took it too far. Just like her father took the keying too far. You know, I mean that's like she's raised to take this too far.
I thought she took it too far.
But I got the idea that's it's much more accepted to behavior in France than it is here.
She got kicked out of the restaurant. She got kicked out of the cab. She got, you know, I think she was a little beyond.
Remember,
New
she
York.
Went off. Right
now, I agree that people
argue
with like New York. You argue with the cab.
Her ex-boyfriend was a child molester. So
yeah,
in her mind,
she was
we don't know if he really was, but
no,
but he slept with a 12-year-old prostitute
driver.
No. The ex-boyfriend
in the restaurant. She or the guy slept with a 12-year-old. In Thailand or something.
And I've heard all those arguments. Everything that she said, I've heard.
That they justify
that
it
justify
and all that stuff.
All
sure.
Because it's done anyway or something? Or
yeah, well, it's different.
It's okay in this in that culture. Yeah. That was. And she had a reason to speak up, but.
Yeah.
And I don't blame her for being a strong woman.
She always
took
it
too far. But at the same time, it's like, oh, God, you don't want a girlfriend like that. I mean,
but she's not like that in New York.
Is it like that in New York?
So that goes back to
she's not like that.
That's why
you start to
That she's comfortable in her own country.
One person at a time.
Yeah.
I just want to throw in a tiny anecdote that it's not really about relationships among couples, but I'll never forget when I was in France and I got on a train to go from one city to another, doesn't matter. And here we were in this compartment, these French people, and all of a sudden they start a conversation. These are six people, including me, who never saw each other before in their life, and they're talking, you know, rather passionately about politics or the latest, you know, thing that's happening. And I don't think this would happen in the United States.
Was it in English?
No, it was in French. I speak French. I'm not very...
What?
I'm not French.
That's what Lenora is thinking. She's thinking,
I'm not.
But we also don't have those trains.
But I just agree with you. Because I find here in the United States that people, they don't know each other and they start talking about what color the panties are.
Yes, but they don't talk about politics. I'm talking about these kinds of arguments she gets into with the cab driver. I mean, it's like they'll get down to things that, you know, they violently disagree about, right? You know, they've never met this person before. I'm just saying that there's a slight cult there with that rang true to me about the French.
I think it does.
And I didn't feel as quite as much that she was a crazy person. She took it one step too far. But in the French culture, in the French
context. Yeah. I think it wasn't as far out. I just wanted to.
Perhaps it was hypocritical.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Which is how she was raised, too. I mean, that's not
a Here's an example, though. I was on an airplane recently. The last time I was on an airplane, which was just a couple of weeks ago, I didn't think I was gonna. I thought I was gonna read, you know. And it turns out the woman sitting in the middle seat is a PR person and very into asking questions and talking. But finally, you know, as we were talking, and I can't remember what we started talking about, we ranged over a whole bunch of stuff. She was asking me. She really got my whole life story essentially. And then she got up to go to the bathroom, and I turned to the other guy who was sitting in the aisle seat. Older guy, and I said, boy, she's a good talker. And she had started out with him. Turns out he's like a state senator in New Hampshire who had come out for some dedication of Lou Pappas's memorial thing at UCSF. Anyway, it was a good friend of his from college. They'd gone to college together. And he and I had a good conversation. So here were three people sitting in one row. It's like a train compartment in a sense, because you can't really talk beyond that one row.
Right, right.
And we were having conversations about the war and education and what budget should be. And,
wow.
You know, I mean, we really
got how often? That's unusual.
It is unusual. I remember sitting one
people
sitting
used
next
to
Faith Popcorn. We had a real conversation.
Sitting next to what?
Faith Popcorn.
Oh,
she's
Faith
a
Popcorn.
Futurist.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. What was I looking up? I'm looking up Adam Goldberg, right?
No, it's not Jack Goldberg. It's Adam.
Adam, I said.
Okay.
It's Adam
Goldberg. I keep transposing. Play Jack. So I don't know that I'd go to see him in another film. This may be his perfect film. He could be but I thought he was quite.
Oops.
Do that.
This really rang true to me. Yeah. I mean, I just kept thinking. My God, I've got these same issues, and I've got to deal with. I've had to deal with, and you know, and wanting to get there was such an in that scene where they had they were at a crossroads. They clearly didn't see eye to eye, but they loved each other, and they had to decide if they were going to give it a shot. The voiceover part,
yeah.
and she, in her voiceover, I think it was. But it was clever though, because she used her own words too every once in a while. I mean, she used her own
and his
silent voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, his too.
Uh huh.
Hard to notice.
Voice
but
came through
every once in a while. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was kind of a little film trick there, I guess, to get to the end. But but at the same time, it. But she says, you know, I don't want to go through this again. Like I just, I've done this over and over, and I just don't know if I want to go through it again. You know, the whole. You know, I know what I'm probably going to do is, you know, we're going to end, and then we're going to see each other, and it's going to be polite, and I'm going to go through some other thing, and then I'm going to go through it again. You know, and it's like, you know, you can fall in love again, hopefully, in life, but, God, sometimes you just don't want it. You know, you just want to get along with the person that you love now. You know what I mean? That's how I felt. And it's like, say, if you can only just try to work out that crap, you know what I mean? But was she cheating? I mean... You know,
cheating.
She claims she wasn't cheating. You know, I mean, I guess define
cheating. Literally,
she was getting. She was getting sexual.
It depends on what cheating means.
That's what I'm asking you.
So what is?
That's right. That's where I was going. What the meaning of is?
She wasn't cheating while she was in France.
While they were together.
While they were together,
she was getting sexual text messages.
While she was in France, she could do anything she was in France. That was not cheating.
In her he did not agree.
I'm not sure.
Just a blowjob.
Yeah, right, like that. And then of course he tells me, you know, yeah,
a different version.
That was before. That was before they knew each other.
You
don't really know the time.
Because she explains that the sister had borrowed the telephone while she was gone.
Right.
And the message was
about
phone. And the phone is ringing, and she's getting the message.
She said she lied.
Right,
uh-huh.
And then I don't know if it's true. They said that it didn't translate. We don't know that Adam Goldberg's character is translating. What was his name? Jack. We don't know if Jack is translating it correctly or not. Clearly, somebody was texting her something, some provocative messages.
Speaking of provocative, you are just yet today.
The North.
Everybody, hello.
Don't record it.
Hello. People often.
and this is true of the Academy, it's true of all of us, underrate comedies and think of them as less serious, less deep, less whatever. Comedy, people who do comedy know that it's the hardest of all genres to do.
Well, and not only
and
that.
And can have depth. You know, just because you're laughing out loud doesn't mean that there's not something reverberating, and that won't reverberate down the road, which I think is true of great comedies, obviously, Molière.
I think he said that about Little Miss Sunshine.
Because Little Miss Sunshine is, you know, people thought
that's
of that
really
as a slight film.
And I thought
that's
it was like the best film of the year, frankly, Little Miss Sunshine. And Annie Hall was a masterpiece.
There is a difference between kinds of comedy, and this and Little Miss Sunshine and Annie Hall are all comedies of character. And that's the way to have a comedy that has some depth. A farce isn't just goes right through you.
But they're playing with farce here.
Yeah.
So
but it's very.
This is more than a.
Yeah,
farce.
I think it's more than a farce. I think it's a very.
I didn't even think of it as a comedy. I laughed a lot, but I didn't think of it as a comedy. I just thought of it as a relationship story that was.
No, it is a comedy.
Difficult, and yet it was very funny in so many ways.
Well, he's more of a comic-leaning character than she, I thought.
Although she's just as funny.
I didn't say she wasn't, but he's
more of a Ben Stiller.
It was hilarious when the family was talking in French and it was translated for us and at the table. Well, you better have something else since he's not much of a looker. So silly looking.
What'd she say?
Yeah, the whole that dinner scene made me think of when Woody Allen went to Annie Hall's for Easter dinner. He pictures himself as Mrs.
I just wonder if that really, you know, talk about the ad lib. I mean, that could really happen. I mean, it's her and her real parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, and here they are, like, you know, this New York Jewish guy comes into the situation and like. Maybe they did think he was really funny looking.
Do you know that they...
Are we still recording?
The critics claim that he had... one critic that I read, that, again, we argue about this all the time if you want, but whether you should even read the criticism, but... And I read it before I went and saw the film, but to claim that, you know, it's just if he just would have shaved off his facial hair, you know, like, that was the problem they had with it because they just, like, they couldn't really see him or they didn't like his look. And I didn't agree with that.
I thought that was part of it because he was a crazy Arab too, right?
Yeah,
that wouldn't have worked if he didn't have the facial hair. So the Arab joke ran through the whole thing.
Exactly, and I think that critic missed it, you know. That's a good example of what not reading, not swearing by what that critic had to say.
You know, he is the next boyfriend of hers.
Oh, I heard that too.
There you go. But it's not autobiographical. My mother, my father, my ex-boyfriend.
So is are French people is France a racist country?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Is America a racist country?
Yeah.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know.
Somebody said that recently.
No, but I mean, well, it's become more that way in the last 20 years or so.
Oh, come on.
I didn't say it wasn't originally.
How about Dreyfus?
More so. Yes, but it's become
Dreyfus.
Even more
Tell
so.
Tell me about Dreyfus.
Dreyfus was an officer in the French army, but he was also a Jew.
19th century. So what did he do or not?
Now, can we tell the Dreyfus story?
No, never mind. Later.
Jacques, right? Isn't that
Jacques? Yes.
He's the one. I think that he was accused of being not patriotic.
Right.
And was executed.
No.
What?
I think he was exiled. And he was eventually pardoned.
In prison, for sure. Let's look him up.
There we go. Yeah, Wikipedia.
I'll look it up, but don't stop.
Okay, can I say something about the comparison to Annie Hall? It is two different cultures, but I think that it's interesting that that Annie Hall's family is this kind of vanilla WASP family, and her family is not a vanilla WASP family. They are real bohemians, and he is. A kind of mixed Jewish business type, you know, not
an interior
decorator.
No, he's an art director. He's not an interior
decorator. I thought he's an interior decorator. I thought he only threw that in once, and I thought, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
He's talking about Andy Hall, right?
No.
He's an interior
designer. That's a little... So it's the same kind of template for a story, but it's a much more... equally interesting.
Well, there's a fun
side.
Thing because he thinks he likes that about her parents, that they're bohemian, but then they're too bohemian, you know.
For him.
Yeah, the mother's a slut too. Yeah,
I mean, that would be a Morrison.
I know, but I don't know.
Well, he was mad at her though.
Yeah,
he was mad at the daughter.
Mad at his girlfriend, and then the mother.
So of course,
and the mother had an affair with Jim Morrison.
But yeah, he wanted to like the parents of father on.
He didn't even like him.
And it's hard to like him when he's keying the cars and he's being, you know, just too much.
He didn't even like Jim Morrison, but he still went to his grave because of the insurance thing to do.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I've been there too.
This is where I laughed. I just remember where I laughed and nobody else did. He says, I didn't really like Jim Morrison, but Val Kilmer, I like.
Yeah. that's
an inside
that was
very
inside.
That's a film joke. Yeah,
I
did too.
Yeah,
that's a film joke. If those of you who saw Arisha Them, the cemetery scene, I liked very much. Remember?
I'm trying to remember it now.
What was it?
It was Oscar Wilde talking to the guy.
Oh, yes, that was very good.
Yes.
There's also a documentary out now about Père Lachaise.
Now, I will say, the day I was at Père Lachaise and went to the Jim Morrison grave, there was not a crowd around.
There were
all kinds of things left on the grave and painted stuff with lizards and so on.
They had to move the grave because it was so popular.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really crazy.
It's unbelievable. Japanese tourists, Germans.
Well, my visit was in the... probably early 80s, mid-80s, and it was in the winter or, you know, not a touristy time. Here's a one paragraph about the Dreyfus Affair. It was a political scandal which divided France from the 1890s to the early 1900s. It involved the wrongful conviction for treason of Captain Alfred Dreyfus, a promising artillery officer and a Jew. How can you be both? The political and judicial scandal that followed lasted until Dreyfus was fully vindicated, thank you. After which he actively served in World War I as a lieutenant colonel who was raised to the rank of officer in the Legion of Honor in November 1918. And you can go on and look at the rest of it on your own time.
Yes.
I think we should say something about Julie Delpy the writer. I think of her as an actress, obviously, and that's what she started doing, et cetera, et cetera. And she's not a bad director either, apparently. But as a writer, I mean... First of all, there's not that many women writers, right? So overall,
screenplays made.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. That we see
that are produced
screenplays that are produced.
And
not only
Ephraim,
you can count
the problem with the women writers.
Yeah,
you can name them.
So I guess what I'm saying is there's something to be said for not only that, but you know, but she's French and she's relatively young. I mean, she's what, about?
Except that it also pisses women off that the only way in is being an actress. You know, worked for Sarah Pauley also, right?
Yeah,
recently. So it's all very irritating that you first have to be either a cute child actor, Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have to be
comic. She might not have gotten
Shirley. What's her name?
Right.
Penny Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very irritating to women who want to get into that, but that's the way in. Is through acting and being gorgeous.
Yeah.
In her case, so
It
is great, and I hope she goes on. That's one of the reasons I wanted to see this film. I'm always interested in films directed by women, and I thought it was fabulous. So, but then we'll see. You know, I mean, it may be her story, although she denies it's autobiographical.
But did she have to finance? Did she have to get it financed herself? I mean, that's the biggest question. I mean, she's a star to some degree, but she's not a household name.
No, you know, yeah, and neither was Sarah Pollard.
It's not an expensive film.
Right, exactly. Right.
But still,
you have to hire your parents. You have to make $1 million.
Yeah, you're, two of your main actors
and your parents, the other one's the next boyfriend.
Plus,
that was her cat.
Yeah,
that was
her cat.
Not only that, but it was...
It didn't even need a cat. She did the music.
It was her apartment too. I read.
It was her apartment. There you go.
Part of it was, or something.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I love the apartment above the parents. The whole thing. The whole premise.
And the, yeah. the laundry folded on the bed.
Oh yeah. No, but that.
And the mother coming she walked in. Yeah.
I think that the cross-cultural sexuality, the way in which that's portrayed, is, and the fact that the film was made most, you know, at least for an American audience, is also very interesting. The whole business with him putting the condom on. And
kind of an old joke, but it was still funny.
It was still funny, you know, and the conversation. It may have been improvised, and it may have been written or partially written, but that whole quality of that conversation you don't hear very often.
No, it was believable,
right? And it was very believable, very believable.
I'm just going to throw one thing out, which has not to do directly with the film, but HBO starting tonight. There's a new series.
Yes, I know.
Called Tell Me That You Love Me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about three or maybe four couples, who are all, three of whom are in therapy.
Yeah.
With I think the woman, a woman therapist, and the woman therapist and her husband are also a couple who are followed. And it's apparently it goes 9 o'clock.
Can you tape it for me?
You want me to show
you? Yeah, it's about couples in therapy.
Yeah. All right, I will. Did you turn off the recorder?
Wait. That could be interesting and relevant.
Hey, Mark. Easier than that. Just make an appointment.
Well, this is even better. The therapist is played by Jane Alexander.
Who's got
some nudity in it. And not afraid to show her body and whatever in her late 60s, I think they said. And she was the head of the NEA. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, I read this article about it. And the other couples are 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Mm-hmm. So it's
120,
130, 140. I will take
different stages of relationships.
Anybody wants to see it. But if any of you get HBO,
either the television or the
I don't get it anymore.
I do not.
The only thing I watched.
I know. When I got it, it was.
He may have gotten so frustrated.
But it also makes you think, how far is reality TV going to go? You know, or this isn't real.
No, this is
No. It isn't. Yeah.
It is apparently shot in a very natural style.
Right, camera.
Cinema verite, I guess you call it.
Which can be quite irritating.
Yeah, they said it's a little irritating. Yeah. This article.
I'm kind of really over that.
But it's probably the most honest look at like sexuality and like and American television ever.
Intimacy.
Excuse me.
Of which sexuality is a major part.
Yeah.
The whole.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought, you know, like in terms of what we're discussing about a movie or going into the past the, well, kind of movie to the extent it goes past the superficial.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's a good thing about HBO.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it going.